Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Four more weeks to be absent. The 4 weeks, I guess, is ending Friday.
Was that approved? Was that granted?
It wasn't granted. The speaker told me that he had not granted that. Because you need to be here to make the requests. But this was submitted from our side. And even the first one, that saw her out. She didn't make any requests from the speaker. So the speaker said, you're only going to accommodate that. It's been a long drawn matter. We've been having conversations, and I think there's something that is happening. There's something that is happening, and I don't want to go into it. Unfortunate as the situation is, but certainly a decision will have to be taken.
One way or the other.
One way or the other.
The constitution is clear. What decision can be taken
Absolutely.
On this?
The first is Honorable Sarah Ajua Safa. The second is Honorable Henry Korti. And the third is Honorable Kennedy Ohene Ajapun. Consequently, as is my understanding of the provisions of Article 97(1)(c) and Order 161 of the Standing Orders of Parliament, and the decision of the Court of Appeal in the case of Professor Stephen Kweku Asare and the Attorney General and three others, I hereby refer the said honorable members to the Committee of Privileges for consideration and report to the House. Since today is the last sitting day of the meeting, I refer it to the committee, and I expect that the committee will submit its report 2 weeks after the House reconvenes. Honorable members, attendance of members is to Parliament, not floor of the Chamber of Parliament. The law lords who ruled earlier on, most of these things are happening because of the recent judgment of the Supreme Court. And that is the good reason why I asked for a review. The work of a member of parliament in parliament is not restricted to the floor of the chamber. Much of the work of parliament is done at the committee level. And that is why, when it comes to the time of voting, the bell is rung for 10 minutes so that at the committee meetings, members can leave the committee meetings and come and vote. You can be on the floor. You can visit the washroom. You can go to attend your constituents. You are in parliament. Being in parliament means being in the presence of parliament.
Mr. Speaker, it would be good to listen to me. When I'm done, you have the privilege to make your
Chief Whip.
Mr. Speaker, you have to first
read the standing orders again.
Mr. Speaker, I have read what I want to read, and I've stopped where I want to stop.
Honorable member,
you listen to me, and when you hear me,
will you resume
speaker,
your
you
seat?
You have to hear me first.
Will you resume your seat?
Mr. Speaker, you have to hear me first.
Will you resume your seat?
Mr. Speaker, we heard you in silence. Please, leader, no. Mr. Speaker, we heard you in silence. Mr. Speaker, it is only fair that you hear us, and when we are done, after the ruling and the decision to be taken, Mr. Speaker, is absolutely yours. But to listen to us, Mr. Speaker, you must listen to us. And Mr. Speaker, when you are making reference to the ruling of the Appeals Court, Mr. Speaker, the interesting thing that you left out, and I draw your attention to this, is that when that Appeals Court made that ruling, it concluded with this. After the court has said that the seat will be declared automatically, it went ahead to say that under the 1992 Constitution, however, it is the High Court which can declare a member of Parliament seats as vacant without providing any reasons or legal basis for the assertion. More particularly, when the provisions in question do not either expressly or impliedly rope in the High Court. This is what the Appeals Court did. So, Mr. Speaker, with the greatest of respect, we agree, you made a statement, but your conclusion, Mr. Speaker, the danger, colleagues, as we sit in this chamber, is this. If we allow speakers to take petition from outsiders and so motive with petition from outsiders to refer members of parliament to privileges, colleagues, we'll be doing ourselves the greatest disservice. Because we will one day get a dictator speaker who will simply take statements from outsiders and begin to penalize individual members of parliament. It is on this basis that I call on all of us that to resist the attempt by Mr. Speaker to refer our colleagues to the privileges. Yeah. And if there is justification, let us get one of us as Member of Parliament who is convinced that our colleagues need to go to privileges to do that and not to allow Speaker to be.
Right, so we are back to Parliament again. This particular Parliament, the 8th, doesn't appear to get off the radar and offing for all the wrong reasons. Well, thankfully, for a while now, we haven't seen any blows and physical attempts to work there. But what exactly is going on in this very august house? The center of what we are practicing, we call a democracy, without which, in fact, we have no democracy. My guest in the studio, John Abdullahi Jinapor, is MP Yape Kosogu and member Finance, Mines and Energy Committees of Parliament. Kweku Kwating is MP of Obuasi West and Chairman Finance Committee of Parliament. Kofi Bento is lawyer and senior vice president of Imani Africa. He joins us via Zoom. Gentlemen, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Right. Okay, so this thing that is started in the House, beginning with Kofi, I want you to give us your preliminary view, watching and listening to developments. We had known all along that Adjoa Safo was the target, was a candidate. Unfortunately, or somehow, we get to discover that now three MPs are in trouble. So what do you make of what is going on?
Right. Good morning, Samson. Good morning to everybody. So let's broaden it. Adjoa Safo was the target for a political witch hunt. She was the target for certain people to achieve a certain very narrow political goal. But we need to go back a bit. Before the last election, I was one of the lawyers working with Odikro.
Right.
And we had gone to court on this same issue. And the issue was that there are too many parliamentarians who take monthly salary, take allowances, and they take the perks of their office, and they don't go to work. Out of the 275 parliamentarians that we have, it is our reckoning that less than half of them go to work regularly. Less than 50% go to work regularly. And less than 50% contribute to parliamentary discourse, debate, lawmaking, etc. And we think that is a heavy cost on this country. We need to do something about it. Some of us are of the view that we have too many parliamentarians. We are not getting value from them. But if that is what it is, we need to find a way in this republic to make sure that we get as much as we can out of our parliamentarians. So way back then, some of us took the step. Now, that case was never called until the elections were over. Coming forward, that practice continued. And there were still calls that, look, this thing is wrong. People should go to work, and we should get value out of the people we pay to be parliamentarians for, you know, various purposes. Now, it was not heeded until the politicians themselves wanted something done, and they felt that they could invoke this law. That is where Adjoa Safo became a target. My issue is this. We need to find a way to make our parliament effective. And the main role of parliament is to be a check on government. Now, if parliamentarians will not go to work, they cannot be a check on government. If they will go to work also and just vote for the government in power for whatever they want, they will also not be a good enough check on government. Mm-hmm. You remember when the E-levy issue came up, I said this was a good thing. Because ultimately, I think the broader view on all of this is that it is good that this is happening. Because now people or parliamentarians will sit up and realize that they have a job they have been paid for and they have to do. Mm. And if they don't do it, these are some of the repercussions.
Right.
I, however, hope that it will not just be a matter of parliament. I think more citizens must take it up like Professor Kukwasari did and got a ruling. And I think the ruling must be enforced so that parliamentarians will feel the need to do what they have been paid to do and what they stood for elections to do.
Right. In 2018, I spoke at one of Odikro's Brown Bag series, lecture series, And I used their own statistic. I was surprised, I was scandalized what I saw in their statistics, even though the MPs have consistently sought to deny the statistics. The fact remains that Odikro has people within the house who are checking their attendance all the time, and what they have is impregnable. So I make a reference and ask you one question. To conduct business, Parliament requires a quorum of one-third of the MPs, and that is only 92 of the 275 members. It's been difficult to get this small number, 92 out of 275. It's been difficult to get this small number, and we have seen and heard speaker after speaker, weep and cry over this conduct. Lack of quorum led to the postponement of the debate of the 2016 budget. Not once, twice. In fact, between January 2013 and July 2014, the average MP missed one in every four sittings of the House. This increased by 58% by 2015. On June 12, 2015, only 83 MPs were in the House. Over 22% were absent for many sittings without permission. In 2017, 27 MP ministers and 21 MP deputy ministers absented themselves more than 15 times during some 80 sittings. And don't get surprised, they absent themselves without permission. And that's a conduct in complete disregard of the Constitution. Now, guess this. The scandalous thing to find is that at the time, even opposition MPs, who you would think don't have too much to do, and so will go to the House, were equally guilty. NDC MPs constituted 28%, while MPP MPs constituted 72% of those who were absenting themselves in the manner they were doing. Now, Kofi, my question to you is, their standing orders allow the Speaker to grant permission to keep your regular job. That's why you see some of them, like some of the lawyers among them, we go to court, we see them all the time. So you ask, are they really doing the job of the MPs? So if their standing orders allow it, why should we complain? Kofi, please unmute.
Hello, Samson, do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Good. We should complain because there are rules for Parliament. And indeed, the rule is that if you are a parliamentarian, it is a full-time job. And if you want to do anything on the side, you need to get the permit or permission from the Speaker so to do. Again, we need to focus on this issue because our parliamentarians over the Fourth Republic have elevated a footnote into a keynote. So almost more than half of parliamentarians are doing work outside Parliament for private profit. Like you say, we meet a lot of them in court. And they have treated the Parliament or the work of Parliament as a part-time job. And that is wrong. If you don't want to do the job of a lawmaker, go and make law, sit in Parliament, debate, listen to debates, and please don't go to Parliament. Mm. So we need to complain. And the point I want to make is that it just happened that today it is their parliamentarians who are seeking to invoke that rule to achieve a certain goal. But that was made for a certain broader goal. And the broader goal is that if they do not go to work, they should relinquish the seat.
So now we have a hung parliament. Yes. They can't afford the luxury of one person absenting themselves.
Yes.
And the whip is being cracked. What is our complaint again?
We are not complaining. We are just trying to put the thing in context that we should not be doing this only when we have a hung parliament. We should be doing this all the time. we should be requiring of our parliamentarians, on the pain of losing their seat, to go to work every day, all day, like we do. Because indeed, they are pretty well remunerated compared to other civil servants and public servants. Mm. So the issue is this. It is not an anomaly that somebody is requesting that a parliamentarian should go to work, and that if they do not go to work, they should relinquish their seats. The only anomaly here is that that request is being made by parliamentarians or politicians themselves to achieve a certain narrow goal. But this should become the norm. This should become what every citizen does, which is why we should commend people like Odikru, who keep tabs on these things. And we should all be minded to look, stare down, and shame those parliamentarians who take the money, take the office, take the perks, and do not go to work. So this is entirely good, and it's one of the good things that come out of a hung parliament. As far as I'm concerned, we should always have hung parliaments, because it will create certain dynamics which will bring good things out of the democratic structure we have. This is the first time in this republic that we are having parliament assert itself in this kind of strong way. And all these things are coming up. We are discovering all these laws which already we have. Imagine that if parliamentarians knew, like all of us know, that if you don't go to work, you'll be fired. And they all came to work. Imagine that they took their work as seriously as they are taking it now. Imagine that they came and they will vote and they will rally their people to come in and they will debate and the people will fight for what they believe in every time, all the time. Mm. I think our republic would be better.
Okay. Gentlemen in the studio, I suppose you will not be part of those who are guilty as charged. Article 97 says, a member of parliament shall vacate his seat in parliament, C, if he is absent without the permission in writing of the speaker and he is unable to offer a reasonable explanation to the parliamentary committee on privileges from 15 sittings of a meeting of parliament during any period that Parliament has been summoned to meet and continues to meet. Then, order 16 of your standing orders, say 16.1, a member shall not absent himself during a meeting for more than 15 sittings without the permission in writing of the Speaker. Any member infringing this order shall have his conduct referred to the Privileges Committee. Kofi's question is what I put to the two of you. Why must we come to the point where you have a hung parliament before you realize that this exists on our books? Yes, Kuku.
Well, thank you, and good morning to viewers and to listeners. I think it shouldn't have come to this. We shouldn't have waited as parliament for it to become politically advantageous to uphold provisions that have been captured in our constitution and standing orders. And maybe we should look upon this as an opportunity to correct what has been done wrongly in the past. I am a chairman of a committee that sits quite often, and I also have concerns about attendance even at my committee. And I see that on the floor, And I am left in no doubt that something has to be done to correct this. It cannot go on forever. I plead that we do not cut our nose to spite our face. It is true that the current dynamics in Parliament in respect of those who have been referred to the Privileges Committee are coming out of a certain political desire to gain numbers advantage. But we risk also downplaying the rules because we worry that people motivated by politics may succeed even using the laws and the constitution. So whilst we urge ourselves as members of parliament to respect these provisions and going forward, if that is the intention of the speaker, to support the speaker, to deal with the absenteeism we're seeing, nothing should stop us also to the extent that it is lawful, to take advantage of these provisions in these times when we have small numbers, when we have tight numbers, to ensure that we take the advantage we can. So my simple answer to you will be that, yes, these rules have been there. We should have been upholding them. We should have been having this discussion much earlier than now. But if it has taken a tight parliament to bring up the discussion, it is still okay. We still have the opportunity within this to fix what has been wrong for a long time.
John, in a system that works, where the law is clear and your standing orders are clear about what should be done to those who default or breach the law, how does this escape you? Kennedy Ejiapon absented himself without permission for 24 out of 28 sittings. Sarah Adjoa Safo absented herself without permission for 19 out of 28 sittings. Then you have Henry Korte also absenting himself without permission for 23 out of 28 sittings. How does this happen in the first place?
First of all, it's important to determine the absence from parliament. If you read, it says 15 sittings, but I know the speaker has ruled that it should be 15 continuous sittings. That's what the speaker has ruled. So intermittently, if you absent yourself based on the speaker's ruling, that is not 15 continuous sittings. Because he says, whilst parliament continues to sit. So that's the interpretation.
What I read to you is for October to December 2021. Now, guess what is in January to March 2022. January to March 2022, absent for Kennedy Ejiapon, 16 out of 28. For Adjoa Safo, 28 sittings. Henry Korte, 25 out of 28 sittings. This is what we are talking about.
Yes, so what Parliament has done is that they've taken 28 continuous sittings and determined that out of the 28 continuous sittings, you are 24. That, I'm saying so because others try to just look at the 15 different days and say that 27% of MPP MPs, 27% of NDC MPs were not available. So I think that ought to be determined. Two is that the Speaker, in his latest ruling, has stated that when you are within the precincts of Parliament, which includes attending committee meetings, you are deemed to be present in Parliament. So if you just go and take the votes and proceedings and look at, and you know the votes and proceedings normally will list those who entered and signed in the chamber and not those who attended committee meetings. Because it will list those who signed and entered and list those who were absent with or without permission and then attach committee reports. So I think even that one, the House itself must reconcile that. Whilst you are listing the person as absent without permission, if you go to the committee sittings, that same person is listed in the committee sittings as having attended like finance committee meeting. So that's something I think Parliament itself...
You're saying that you will go to Parliament and will not sign up, but...
You won't enter the
But
chamber.
You will attend some meetings.
So I attend
do you
finance
do that?
Committee...
No, I'm asking
sometimes,
you. Will you do that?
Sometimes we sit at finance committee meeting from 6, let's say from 8 in the morning. And before you realize, the house is closed. We've had that before.
Yes, many times.
The committee meeting is so serious, and Chairman knows those of us who sit at the committee meeting. It's so serious like that, you even forget that, look, the house is sitting. And maybe by 2, or say sometimes even by 12, the house is closed.
So do you recognize that the speaker's ruling, so to speak, or that was a communication to you, that being within the precincts should be seen as present? Because that also appears to align with what you read in SKMA.
So that is it. So that's why I'm saying that. So if you just go and take attendance in the chamber, and draw a conclusion and say that this person was not in parliament for, say, 50 days, when out of the 50, probably 5 or 10 or whatever, he was at committee meetings, you ought to be careful how you draw. I'm just saying this because people like to also get involved in our parliamentary work. We all educate each other. We are learning. I encourage Odikro and all those people for what they are doing.
If you are referring to Odikro, Odikro will explain to you that they don't only check those who are present in the house, and they don't only use the book, but they proceed. They used to do that, and the majority leader drew the attention that that was wrong, and then they revised it.
Fantastic.
And tried to check to be sure that Fantastic. You are in the house
Fantastic.
In the first place.
Fantastic.
Right. But you are not saying this to excuse that these three individuals
I'm not coming.
Have
I
not
just
defaulted.
Thought I should lay these bases so that we ourselves as parliament would improve how we report on attendance, how we determine, even like you said, within the precincts of parliament, can we enhance our standing orders to define what we mean by within the precincts of parliament so that it is clear and explicit, so you don't leave room for conjecture. Now we are dealing with three.
But even if you redefine it, it should insist that you must sign in, even if you have a committee.
Fine, let
meeting.
Parliament do that. Yeah. I just think that we should bring clarity and certainty to all these issues.
All right.
Now the issue of the three, it is obvious that these three have absented themselves continuously beyond the 15 days. The records clearly show. But when you read the Constitution, it is clear that even when you absent yourself for the 15 days, you automatically do not lose your seat. That ought to be established, that the fact that the person is absented himself for 15 days doesn't automatically result in you losing your seat. Today, I'm going to the constituency. God forbid, I'm involved in an accident. I'm in coma. There's no ID card on me. I'm rushed to the hospital, put on a life support for 1 month before my family is able to trace and even determine that I am there. Do you declare my seat vacant? That is why you ought to be heard. And so I think that they ought to be given a fair hearing. But the truth is that sometimes, let's face it, there's some political issues here. And that is where the challenge then comes. Because if you listen to members of the MPP, they always talk about Adjoa Safua's absence. I haven't heard even one single MPP MP complain about Kenneth Japon's absence, complain about Henry Kotte's absence. But you've heard numerous MPP MPs consistently complain about Adjoa Safua's absence because on certain critical decision-making periods, they expect her to be in parliament in order to shore up the numbers. So the intention behind this whole issue of you being absent is another matter. Let's see how it goes. Don't forget that the chief whip already is even challenging the decision by the speaker on his own to refer the matter to the Privileges Committee. And I'm told that he has even filed a motion. That ought to be determined even by the House.
Yes.
Whether when someone believes that you've absented yourself, it ought to be raised on the floor of Parliament before it is referred to the Privileges Committee, or the Speaker on its own through communication can refer the matter to the Privileges Committee.
So these are to start with, areas. I think a part of his contention is that the I think order 70, somewhere in order 70, 75 thereabout, says that, talks about petitions. And it says petitions must be brought only by MPs.
Petitions so, to Parliament.
Yes, only by MPs. For the purpose of MPs, Parliament's consideration, only by Parliament. In this case, the person who has brought the petition is not an MP. So his argument number one is that the speaker doesn't have the power to bring such a matter before the House.
It's the communication the speaker gave. The speaker said he has received several petitions. So that is the underlying issue. He says, I've received several petitions from civil society and others. And so I caused the table office to do a check for me. They then adduced the evidence to me, and based on that, I'm referring it. Then Muntaka says, Speaker, hold it. Yes, you might have received petitions, but in accordance with our standing orders, those petitions must be raised by members of parliament. Mm. So if the public believes that something ought to be raised, probably lobby Kwaku Kwarteng or lobby Jinapo, let me raise it on the floor. The speaker hears it and then makes that directive. So it's quite thin.
The order is on the 76-1. It says, and the side note is petitions. And the title of part 11, is papers, petitions. It says, every application to parliament shall be in the form of a petition. And every petition must be presented by a member.
You know, Samson, I think we are getting into the problems that Kofi Bento complained about. I think there's a much bigger issue about the MP's absenteeism. Mm. And probably today's discussion focuses on the political matters that have come to Parliament. So maybe we can grant that. But I wish that there will be an opportunity to discuss absenteeism generally, the technicalities about being in committees and all that may be raised, and we should find ways of clarifying those areas that are not clear. But we cannot overlook the fact that absenteeism, it's a problem. Hmm. And
almost every speaker has complained.
Yes,
about it.
And I look at the UK Parliament especially, and sometimes I see very few people in their chamber. Very few. I see that in other parliaments. Perhaps we should find out the workings of parliament in those areas. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that Ghanaians are concerned about the absence of their members of parliament from the chamber and from parliament, see what path we as Ghanaians want to chart. Mm. I don't want us to quite mix that up with the other matters that have come. Absenteeism is a real problem.
But this small one, where do you stand?
Yes, I'm going to that.
MPs should be giving permission to do their job in addition to representing the people in parliament. Because your orders allow that, you apply to the speaker and he gives you a waiver so that you are able to keep your job.
No, there's a committee.
But Yes,
should that be there? Should that be there?
You should ask that.
That you are an MP, you should be giving leave to do your continual...
You should ask that question across the public sector. All right? If somebody is a public servant and they come to work regular times, are they allowed after work to do anything for additional income? If you are the chief director, you have a small shop in your house. You close work at 5 o'clock. Are you allowed to go and sit in that shop and sell? So we should be fair and ask that question across the public sector.
What do you think? It's a question I asked to you,
I'm expanding it because it is impossible to say no to MPs. If I close work, I close parliament, I've closed my committee meetings, I am in my room, I mean, I'm at home, and somebody comes for consultancy advice, and I can advise for money. You say we should make it impossible for the MP to do that, or if, as a member of parliament, I close work, and I have a small shop close to my house, am I allowed to sit at that shop and sell? These are matters that I think we should not take members of parliament away from what happens generally in the public sector. We want to find out what happens in other places. I think that should be permissible, except that if you have to be in parliament, be in parliament. If you have been in committee meetings, be in committee meetings. How you use your time after work is your own business. And if there's a requirement that you should seek leave in order that you can engage in profit-making, I think it is more to be sure that profit-making activity does not in any way get in the way of your main job as an MP.
Okay.
That is the concern there. But I do not think you can say that.
You share the same view?
Yeah, you say, first of all, you are even referred to a committee. The speaker on his own, sole motto, cannot just decide that, go ahead and do that. There's a full committee that evaluates your application and determine whether that is a committee on members holding office of profit, whether it would conflict with your work, whether it will impede with your work before they grant it. Because, Samson, I pay my driver. I pay my secretary. I pay my research assistant. I pay half of my vehicle. I buy my own fuel. I try to be very effective in parliament. If I want to be effective, the 9,000 cedi wouldn't do it. Let's be frank. The 9,000 cedi I earn a month.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the other things.
Like what?
We know the 9,000 is not what you earn.
So I think that once it doesn't conflict with my work, it doesn't impede my work, I can be a board member of a private company and bring my expertise to that office. Okay. I may be giving
All right, thank you. Now, proceed to the substantive matter.
I have looked carefully and I've spoken with many more senior members of the House on this matter. And if you look at Order 76.1, which you read, which is a petition to Parliament, and it's very important that you stress the word Parliament, a petition to Parliament, the requirements on that are very clear. You ought to be a member of Parliament. And in fact, it's not just being a member of Parliament. You need to take the process through the House. And in some cases, there ought not to be a debate. In some cases, there ought to be a debate. And effectively, you'll be dealing with a motion, which motion then would be decided upon by the House. But 76.1 itself excludes matters of breach of privilege from all these requirements. If you read 76.1, it says all these do not, what is following, the requirement of being doing that should does not include matters of breach of privilege. But in 76.1, petitions to Parliament,
it says a petition not relating to a breach of privileges of the House and which, according to the rules or usual practice of the House, can be received, shall be brought to the table by the direction of Mr. Speaker.
Exactly. So it's taking out petitions relating to issues of privilege under 76.1. You see that very clearly.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say how it must be treated. Again, if you go to 164.1 speaks about the Privileges Committee, but 164.2 then goes on to say how matters must be referred to the Privileges Committee. And there again, you see clearly that it ought to be a decision of the House to refer the matters to the Privileges Committee. You see that. But 76 deals with petitions. And then I think it says petitions and something, but it deals with petitions. 164 deals with normal committee work. You know, normal parliamentary committees and how they work. If you look at the section 30 and 31, which I'm sure the speaker derives the rightness of what he did from, it deals with privileges. There it is very clear. Privileges and contempt, breaches of privileges and contempt of parliament.
Right.
That is the section that deals with that. And you go to 30.
Disorderly conduct, misbehavior,
and that is in 30.
Persistent or willful disobedience of general rules, you know.
It lists all of them. And then it comes to 31 and says, where there's a complaint in relation to these matters, the speaker would refer it to the Privileges Committee. I see somewhat a conflict. Because in 31, you don't get a sense at all that it must be taken through the requirements that are listed in 76.1. You don't get it. It says wherever a complaint.
It says in all cases of proceedings.
Yes.
Where complaint is made of a breach of privilege.
Yes.
Or contempt of parliament, Mr. Speaker may direct that the matter be referred to the Committee of Privilege.
Yes. Let me finish with this point.
I just wanted you to draw this distinction.
Yes.
Privileges as against attendance to Parliament. If you do not attend Parliament, does that amount to any privilege?
Certainly not.
It's a breach of
privilege. So don't mix privileges
attendance is a question of privilege, should it?
So don't let us mix the two.
Okay.
But there's no place. Look, unless we consider absenting yourself from Parliament. You consider it under 30G, something the provision you read. Unless you consider that, then there's even no space under our standing orders to deal with absenteeism. So what I'm saying is that 31 ought to consider absenteeism as breach of privilege. Mm.
I disagree.
Okay, that is fine.
Which
but
I disagree.
But when I look at 31, I don't get the sense that the speaker aired, and I don't get the sense that it ought to have been raised by a member. I think there is space there for the speaker to have done this. At the very best, you can say that there is doubt. And when there is doubt, you will go to order five. And again, it's the speaker that will decide what ought to be, given the doubt. But Samson, just to respond briefly to Jinapor on this question of whether absenteeism should be considered to be a breach of privilege. If you look at the order of business under order 53, there is no room for breach of privilege. It has room for contempt of parliament. There is no room there. The whole place, there is no room for breaches of privilege. So I can only say that the speaker under 31 referred this to the Privileges Committee, and that ought to be proper.
Okay.
Just a quick one.
Yes.
Generally, this house, our house, you can raise any matter as a member of parliament, provided you go through the right processes. That is one. You must apply to the speaker. If the speaker admits it, you come to the house, you move that motion. Yeah. Once it is seconded, it is before the house. And then the house will determine what it wants to do. So that general framework addresses virtually anything that ought to come before the floor for debate and for decision making. And so I thought that if you, the majority side, felt that this very issue was that topical, you had every opportunity to raise that on the floor of parliament, second it, we discuss it, and then it is referred to the committee. It should have been tidier, it should have been neater, and you wouldn't have put the speaker in this difficult situation that we find ourselves. It's my personal opinion, but right. I'm entitled to that.
So one of your colleagues says that the speaker had power under 31 and 53 1D to do what he did. He says that Article 70(97)(1C) considers absence of parliament to be an incidence of breach of privilege. It considers it to be an incidence of breach of privilege, and that Muntaka was horribly wrong with his challenge to the speaker.
But something happened on the floor that
right. So
just a bit.
So the,
your side, the majority
people are
side,
asking a question.
Maintain that even the Privilege Committee had no business.
I want us to move away from the technicalities.
Yes, we'll come there.
I want us to move away from the technicalities so that we don't spend too much time on this. Let me get Kofi in now. Kofi, some members of the public are concerned, and they are actually curious that it takes NDC MP or MPs, at least we know of one so far, that is complaining in a situation where they quote unquote stand to benefit, that three MPs from the MPP side are going to suffer. Some can't see their way clear with that. But Muntaka insists that he is fighting for procedure, principle, and for the future, that if things are not done right, a dictatorial speaker can invite petitions from outside, from anybody, and through that remove an opposition member that they are not happy with.
Yeah, and I think whoever is thinking that way is justified. There is a general feeling in the Ghanaian public that MPs will always unite to protect their interests, even if it is against what the people want. So you see MPs agree on their loans and all those other things. The details we can discuss, but clearly, when you have a situation where MPs are going to be put under some sort of scrutiny, and I can see Honorable Muntaka looking into the future and guessing that, look, this can turn around, and then you would have some of my people or myself, you know, coming under, you know, the same kind of pressure. So he's trying to do it now to prevent any future occurrence. But when you do that, you are actually bulwarking the institution of parliament against the people. It is the same parliament also which will exact privileges against people who criticize them or say things that they don't like. Mm. So you have a creeping situation where parliament is trying to extricate itself from any kind of control. Now, that is wrong. It must never be allowed. We need to establish this fact that parliamentarians are employees of the people. And especially to the extent that there are rules that require you to go to work. I have been listening to the banter between Kwati and Mr. Ginapo, and it's all technical, whether it's right or it's wrong. Here are the fundamental issues. There is nowhere that you can refuse to go to work for an elongated period of time and expect that your job will be there, you know, you come back and you continue. There is no company where more than 50% of the people refuse to go to work consistently, and that company is going to work well. And I agree with Mr. Kwating. If you finish your work, after your work is done, and you go and sit in your shop and you do your consultants, that is fine. The same thing must be done with MPs. They should come to work, finish their work, and go and do the other, you know, jobs that they want to do. That is not what we see. We see a situation where, again, more than 50% are consistently not going to work at all and spending their time doing other things. The other issue that must be clarified for our people is this. If somebody is saying that the technicalities do not allow the speaker to do what he did, and I'm glad that another person came and said he is very much allowed to do what he did. Indeed, it is our view that a person who has absented themselves for 15 sittings and is not consecutive has actually vacated their seat. And that was the gravamen of the judgment that Professor Asare got. Mm-hmm. So it is a matter that has happened. Once you do that, you vacated your seat. And it is for either the clerk or, I believe, the speaker to declare it as such. So if you say by some technicality a petition cannot do this, then we'll end up suing the speaker. Okay? And we thank God for groups like Odiku. They are on the beat. And we will all support them. We need to get to a point, and I agree with Mr. Kwating, that if we do some of these things, it will strengthen parliament, it will strengthen the committees, it will strengthen the work of parliament. So the technicalities notwithstanding, and indeed, I don't think the technicalities are a problem. We need to accept the fact that we have a problem with parliamentarians going to work. It has become endemic. It has become catastrophic. It has to be solved. We cannot leave it to only parliamentarians to solve, because Honorable Muntaka has shown us clearly that they will do everything to defend themselves, even should, if it means should, defending their
should
own.
The speaker,
in this particular case,
should the speaker people, or should parliament be accepting, as it were, petitions from ordinary Ghanaians for such purposes, other than those that are taking through the to MPs?
Absolutely, because we need to entrench the principle that parliamentarians, and indeed ministers and others, are employees of the people. Our parliament is not sovereign. It is different from the UK parliament. And I don't want to go into the technicalities, why some of them will not be there. They are not sovereign. So we should take those petitions. Indeed, that is why there's a lot of push for even private members' bills. We need to make sure that we have a healthy interaction between parliament and the people. There is a tendency for parliamentarians and parliament to, you know, go away from the people. They can easily lose touch with it.
The suggestion is that
have that connection.
The suggestion is that if you allow it that way and bridled, there's going to be the opening of the floodgates where political mischief, you know, opponents will try to undo one another using that vehicle. But I practically have a problem with that, because if you have not absented yourself for 15 days, why should you be scared of anything?
Exactly. So if you have not committed that problem, there will be no situation where that will happen. And if it happens, it will be thrown away. That is one. Number two, it doesn't mean every petition will be considered. So indeed, there will be a system process that takes away all the rabble-rousers and the troublemakers. And then three, most floodgate theories are fantasies that never occur. There will never be a floodgate where people are going to be sending things. And indeed, parliament will have a way of, you know, dealing with it.
Right.
So the principle must be clear that there must be a system in parliament that allows citizens to participate in what goes on. But parliament is a master of its rules. It will determine what goes forward and what does not go forward. And there will be situations where, even where there is merit, okay, we can all listen and then have, after the debate, decide that, look, this should not go anywhere. But we cannot have a situation where Parliament cuts itself off the people and then goes on and does things like what we are seeing now, where most of them don't go to work and we will not have anything to say or anything to do about it. I believe the Speaker is right. And indeed, this protects Parliament if the Speaker would take these steps. Because if the Speaker doesn't take these steps, you will have court cases after court cases. And somewhere down the line, it's going to get, you know, worse. Mm. So that House splitting must happen. I don't think Muntaka should resist this.
Okay. Yes, people can't understand why when we say, you know, a meeting of Parliament, which is just between 12 to 13 weeks, and you can't avail yourself for that much. People are raising issues that the NPP, why are you targeting Adjoa for the way you are doing? Because now we're getting to know that she has more germane reasons not to be available because of family issues, her child issues, and American social security matters, social welfare matters that may deprive her of her child and the rest of them. She sought permission, and then she wrote again to seek permission. And unfortunately, she must route it through her leadership. And the majority group didn't want to recommend the absence, the permission for her. So the Speaker has not also confirmed that. And she had to write directly to the Speaker to complain about the circumstance. And the Speaker referred that to the majority again, who were already, as it were, biased against her.
Samson, let me make this point. I'm part of the majority, and I can say without any doubt that an overwhelming majority of those of us on the majority side sympathize with Honorable Adjoa Safo. There are a few who have expressed some concerns about her absence in languages that we have all been disturbed about. I do not think Honorable Adjoa Safo is doing anything out of malice. I do not think there's any intention to undermine government or to undermine the caucus. I never believe that. And the majority of us on the NPP side, we don't believe that. So that point must be made clear. However, we ought to ask the question, is this about sympathy, or it's about how Ghana's parliament works? That if a member of parliament was elected and for some reason outside their control, they cannot be in the chamber for the 4 years, that because the reasons are reasons that attract sympathy, and we all understand as human beings, then it's okay for the people of that constituency not to have representation for the entire 4 years simply because the person is away for reasons beyond your control. We have to ask that question. And I think it's very easy to say somebody is targeting her because of politics. The last thing I would do is to target Adjoa Safo. She's my friend.
Maybe not you.
I just don't want to do that.
But we have heard the claims that because of
her unavailability, you have struggled to pass e-levy, and you suffered a lot of embarrassment, and you know, you blame all of this on her. At one point, she had to be put on a jet to come down, you know, in a risky way to come and be part of the voting process. And all the rumors, I'm not supposed to elevate rumors, but the rumors that she suspected to have been the person who added her vote to the NDC for the Speaker to be elected.
I don't believe
and
that.
And so she has to be punished, isolated.
I don't believe that. I don't think it was Adjoa Safo that voted. Because I know Adjoa, I've known Adjoa since we're out of Parliament. I don't think she did it, and that must be discounted immediately. I also do not think that when people blame her, you may blame her to the extent that her vote was not there to help the majority side get what we want. Mm. You may, to that extent, blame her. But I do not think you blame her to say that she's doing this maliciously. But as for...
Some of your people, including your leaders, have suggested that.
Look, that's what I'm saying, that the majority of us, and we have this, we have private, also have platforms, we have discussions amongst ourselves. The majority of us believe that Adjoa Safo is not doing this maliciously. But all of us, including myself, also believe that the fact that her situation rather calls for our sympathy and support does not mean that the Parliament of Ghana must almost perpetually be without a member that has been elected to represent the constituency. We must differentiate two things. So I would be happy if, Adjoa is a woman of substance, but if there was...
If you have entertained such circumstances before, why her?
It's almost like
of course,
saying...
Of because you have a hung parliament now.
It's almost like saying if we have entertained MPs absenteeism for so long, why are we discussing it now? There always ought to be a point at which we say we will do the right thing. So what I'm saying is this, that I believe that, and the majority of us on the majority side believe that Adjoa Safo is not doing this maliciously. And if anybody, and I've heard some comments, and where those comments came, many of us have discussed it amongst ourselves as unfortunate to let it seem to the public that she's doing this maliciously, when many of us believe that indeed she needs support. What I, for instance, cannot accept, however, and I at the risk of repeating myself, should we allow a situation we sympathize with to, if you like...
Deprive the people of a representation.
I mean, is it something we want to entertain? And I take a shot at my colleagues on the other side. We must be careful what we do about the institution called Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
This precedent that we will protect a situation that reduces the numbers of Parliament, never mind what is causing, so long as it could give us numerical advantage, we would support. We are setting a precedent that the people of this country do not need.
Mm.
And that is where I end. And I think the processes should continue.
If she's in such a circumstance, have you given her the opportunity at least to resign?
No, but you don't need an opportunity.
Because that's more honorable.
Oh, but you need an opportunity to resign.
In government, you do this all the time. You want to sack people and you ask them to jump, rather. You let them resign.
Well, I think if a person considers that they are unable to fulfill the responsibilities for which they were elected for legitimate reasons, it is for them to say, look, I'm happy you voted for me, but I'm unable to perform these functions for 1, 2, 3 reasons. Therefore, I resign.
Let me start with you on this note. What do you think the message out there that Ken Henry Korte, who we understand have been unwell for some good reason, have been unwell, have been seeking medical treatment out of the country and so on, and yet do not have the courtesy to seek permission. What does that tell you of the attitude of members to the importance of their job in the House?
I think we could deal with that. That is, say, there's been a general feeling that you can absent yourself and nothing will happen.
Because it's been happening.
He says that you ought to draw the curtain. I have no problem with that. But clearly, Samson, let's be frank, and I'm happy you say let's move away from the technicalities and deal with the real issues. The target is Adjoa Safo. Let's be honest. Let's face it.
Your protection is Adjoa Safo.
So we are moving from the realm of technicalities to political interest and gains.
Mm.
Listen to your own member. Resign honorably before we table a motion to sack you. MPP, MP to Adjoa Safo. This a member of the Privileges Committee since April. Even after the matter had been referred, he stated that Adjoa Safo must resign. Even without listening to her, a member of the Privileges Committee who has already made up his mind. And I was drawing your attention that on the floor, the majority leadership maintained that the Speaker had the right to refer the matter to the Privileges Committee.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no right to insist that the Privileges Committee...
That's a constitutional
must
matter.
...bring the report
That's a constitutional
floor.
Matter. We will go there, maybe.
They say that the Privileges Committee should listen to them, rule, and determine, and that becomes finality.
Your suspicion is that...
They have the numbers.
So what will happen?
There is only one.
And he made the difference at the finance committee. At the finance committee, when we voted an e-levy, it was a tie, which meant e-levy would have then said
casting the vote by the chair.
He gave a casting vote, and they have the casting vote on that committee.
And proudly so.
Yes. So beyond all these issues, beneath is the political game. Mm. Let's be frank. That is the whole issue.
But the constitution says, and I think Kofi or you mentioned it earlier, you did. It says, if you shall vacate your seat, if you are absent without the permission in writing of the speaker, and
reasonable,
and you are unable to offer a reasonable explanation to the parliamentary committee on privileges.
Mm-hmm. So, the privileges committee,
we know these two gentlemen, that, you know, these two men, that they have been sick. They have health issues.
Kweku has just confirmed that Ajua even needs our support. She even needs our support more.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's also going through a very difficult situation. And it's not only on health grounds that you then say that
you don't know,
you qualify. But he knows that she even needs our support.
Mm.
And yet members of the committee have already started
complaining. So they will use a subjective rather than an objective standard.
Oh, that is it. And that is what happens in parliament. So they were insisting that at the privileges committee, let's end it there.
They shouldn't come to the house.
They were exonerated, Ken.
Mm.
They were exonerated.
Henry Kotte.
Henry Kotte. Ajua will fall in
there. You're contempting parliament, huh?
If it came to the floor, if it came to the floor, what will happen?
You would see what will happen when they bring the report today. And I know you will be very much interested in the report. Because the report has to deal with this three and the recommendations thereof for the House to declare.
They cannot justify the two when they are isolated. Is that what you're saying?
They can do that. Mm. And that's what the committee can. The committee can decide, having listened to the three, we are satisfied that as for these two, they have solid grounds. The House should let them go. But as for Ajua, we are not satisfied with her explanation. She should be expunged and the seat declared vacant. And you watch what will happen.
So if it came to the floor, it will be a matter of voting.
It now be a matter of voting. And my sense is that the majority must carry the day. So it will then be those for, those against, on individual levels.
Mm.
So you take Ken. The committee only recommends to the floor.
Mm.
Plenary will then take a decision. We can reject the committee's recommendation.
Ken will vote for himself. Henry will vote for himself.
That is even another matter we must determine there. And even with Muntake's motion, we must even determine whether Ken and Henry can, and Ajua Safua can vote on that matter when it is brought before the floor. Because Muntake is saying that the speaker cannot. If that is carried, all this issue of privileges and whatever is
done. But Samson, this is important. This is important. Given what I have read and my own belief that at the very worst, the constitution, the standing orders are ambiguous, and order 5 gives the speaker the power to interpret in those circumstances.
Mm.
The speaker, I think, must make a determination whether to admit the motion in the first place.
If it doesn't, there's another route, and you know that.
That would be the courts.
No. You can get 1/3 of the members to sign, and then you move, I think, half-hour motion or so.
Sign a petition.
Yes. And then
When we get to,
there are so many other issues.
Yes, we can end this here, but let's hear, Kofi, if you have anything to say briefly in a minute, then we can take a break on this issue.
I think what is being glossed over is the legal proposition that these members have already vacated their seats.
No.
Determination in court is being looked over.
Based on what?
And it's a serious matter. Look, some of the people who have been mentioned, some of the MPs who have been mentioned, are favorites of mine. I mean, I really want them to be in government. They are showing how good they are. But this also speaks to the fact that we need to have a pure parliament. We need to have the constitutional amendment to remove this requirement that ministers come from parliament, to make parliamentarians full-time parliamentarians and make them continue to be in parliament all the time. But the point here is this: have they vacated their seat according to law already?
or they are now going to be processed to, you know, be determined whether they will vacate their seat or not. And I think that I agree with the opposition based on the wording in the constitution and the law that by absenting themselves, they have vacated their seats.
Professor Kwasari, who mounted that suit, says that the constitution talks about unexcused absence up to 15 sittings in a meeting. In that case, the redress is through the privileges committee. That is clear, and the Asari case was not about that at all. The Asari case was about absence in excess of 15 sittings in a meeting. In that case, the court held that the seat is vacated automatically. It is not up to the Privileges Committee to excuse an MP from his job of representing his constituents. The rationale is that leaving the Privileges Committee to address all absences will reduce it to a political game. And the Amwatin outcome, where the Privileges Committee found that he had offered a reasonable explanation to be absent from Parliament, even though he was in a US jail. On how this should be triggered, I think it is clerical issue that must be handled by the custodian of the attendance register, who must do better at reconciling the register to reflect members in attendance at committees so that those in committees don't suffer unnecessarily. I'm taking a break, but let me read two messages from two MPs. Now, Ejapa Mesa says that if JJ is suggesting that at the core of the Ajua Safo referral is some political game and profess no evidence, is that an admission that the NDC is also playing a political game? That is the question. Roxanne Dafiamapo says that the speaker, it's obvious, is concerned about the image of Parliament regarding absenteeism, which must be dealt with. But let the point be made that Parliament is...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The only organ of state that you are entitled to enter on grounds of politics. So everything in Parliament turns on and around politics. Indeed, the Constitution even demands that when you get to Parliament as an independent person, you must partner political groupings to form a caucus group to constitute a majority side or minority side. I return to share some of your messages before we proceed to fact-checking Dr. Bawumia and his truths about the economic situation. We'll be right back.